serve a living God, a living God. The mere fact that Jesus Christ fulfilled every single prophecy in the Bible that would be unheard of for any man to try to make that come to pass, that was prophesied thousands of years ago before he ever came. We serve a real living God. So when Jesus came on this earth, it was Jesus in his flesh. It was Jesus as God. When he left, he says, "Now I give myself unto the Father. I commit my spirit into your hands." Many were lost. It's kind of how I see the church. Where is he? I once had him and now he's gone. I once had Jesus in my sights, but now he's gone. What do I do? Where do I go? Let me go back to my old ways. Let me try to recapture what I once knew of Jesus, but I can't see him, so I'm going to stop progressing in the direction that he's called me. I see that that time frame is where we once held Jesus in our sights and in our heart, but yet when things begin to go wrong and begin to go contrary to his word, we let go and we lose sight of who Jesus is. Amen. And we begin to look for him on a different path. But as you see, the disciples that were with him spent 3.5 years with Jesus. They had slumber parties by him. They stayed up with him all night. They'd watch him pray. They'd watch him eat. They would laugh with Jesus. They would cry with Jesus. They'd get mad at Jesus. They'd question Jesus. They would think Jesus is crazy. I ask him a question, he tells me a story. I ask him a specific question and he tells me to think of this thing, think of that thing. And it takes me to a whole different direction. I never get my answer. But they were with him. Then they see this man begin to do miracles that had not been recorded before. But yet there was a scroll that the prophet would speak from. And this scroll began to open up and it began to be manifested and fulfilled in that very hour as Jesus began to read the scroll of Isaiah. That I've come to set the captives free. It says, in this very hour, this scripture has been fulfilled. The captives set free. He begins to teach the rabbis, the Jewish leaders, begins to teach all of them something different. Begins to teach them about relationship as opposed to the law. So then when he leaves, they see him on the cross. You see women there, you don't see the men there. How is it that when crisis comes, women are always there? But the men don't want to deal with it. Yeah, we get to that point in our life. We look, where is Jesus? Where is he? I once beheld his beauty in my own eyes, but now I don't see him. Have you ever felt that way, that once you knew him in a way that, God, I could just open up my Bible and you would speak. You would know exactly. I'd just open it up and you were speaking and giving me my answers. Then when I would go and pray, oh, I could feel your presence so strong. You remember those times? You remember those? How many of you still do that? You open up your Bible, he speaks to you. How about when you open it and you point to a scripture in the middle and then, wow. That's what I'm going through right now. It's a little bit harder when it's digital now, isn't it? When it's digital, now you gotta swipe it. Next thing you open your eyes and it's Candy Crush. No, that's not God. Wait a minute, I wanted God to speak to me. But now you gotta tell God where to go. Did we miss that one? Now we got to tell God where to go in his own word to speak to us. When we get into those apps and all these Bible formats and God, you've got to go to John 3, 2, verse 6. Which version let me choose for you? Whereas before we can get into the Bible, just open it up. And sometimes you would open it up and the pages would just... Come on, talk with me now. Talk with me now. Sometimes you would begin to read, all of a sudden the page would just kind of flip over. And it just happened to be that time you had highlighted something about 3 years ago. And then there was your answer, right? Hey! And some of us have a tendency to date it, you know. Where the church you were at, or the pastor. Yeah, 1995. Pastor at so-and-so, okay, and it was all highlighted, underlined, circled, starred, and everything. It's like God knew what He was doing in His Word, but so did the enemy knew what he was doing, and I have found so many errors in this. So many errors. Don't get me wrong, I put all my notes in here, but when I start reading the Bible and I start seeing some things that don't match up, I got 6 Bibles in there in my office. And this don't sound right. I ain't knocking all these Bible apps. But the enemy knows how to get you skewed a little bit. Knows how to get you off course a little bit. Well, I don't like the way the paper feels because paper cuts. And we can make excuses for excuses on top of excuses. But I remember back in the day, I would open up my Bible and He would speak. And I couldn't get out of the Bible. I would just cry. There was teardrops all over my Bible. God, you're speaking to me. And it's just me. Why are you speaking to me? You've got so much more to do in this world. There's so many bigger problems. There's so many issues that need to be. Why are you speaking to me? It's just because I love you. Because you're important to me. Because you mean so much to me that I stop to come commune with you and to speak to you in your word. Once you spent time with me, I spent time with you. I begin to teach you some things, begin to show you some things. But we get away from it and we start doing what we want to do. Well, God, I'm going to put you on a 365-day reader, so that I can make sure I read my word. And we read that one verse for that day because we got 364 more to go. So we can read the Bible in 1 year. And we forget to spend time with Him. Sunday, the Lord began to show me. He says, son, you're doing something that many people across the land are doing right now. They're fasting. Many people are fasting, and I've said this before. They fast because they want to sacrifice something. And y'all have heard me many a times in this pulpit here begin to speak about food. I've given great prophetic analogies about food. So when I begin to give up food, it's like, hey, something's up, something's up. And then he says, okay, I want you to give it all up. I want you to do liquid. Liquid. I don't know about you. Have you ever gone through a fast longer than 21 days? Raise your hand. Just 21 days. Longer than 21 days? Do you know that scientifically proven after 21 days of fasting, you can literally change the structure of your DNA? So when Daniel was fasting, many people, Daniel fasted 21 days. No, he didn't. He only fasted a portion of the time during the feast. He prayed the rest. So there's a combination that needs to be done. This is what the Lord was telling me on Sunday. My son Joseph was going back to school. I said, Joseph, we're going to eat today. He goes, no, you can't. I said, I'm eating today with you. I'm going to eat today. I'm going to eat my salad. Eat today. Isn't God going to get mad? No, He ain't going to get mad. He ain't going to get mad. Before you leave, I'm going to break bread with you. So you always know you always have a place when you come home. that we always spend time together. Sitting there at Zeal's being all, you know, just family, you know what I mean? They bring this loaf of bread and they have the oil in there. I'm just talking to you. Can we just talk? Can we just talk? I saw loaf after loaf after loaf after loaf come. I got to the point, God, I said, Lord, this is a real fast. You know, and I felt like, Ms. Joy, I just wanted just a little peace and just dip it on the oil. Because, you know, the oil, the anointing, you know, Holy Spirit, just, He's the bread of life. He's the oil. You know, just, I felt like I could connect. The Lord said, it's not about that. Just watch what I'm doing. Watch what I'm doing. Sitting there at Zio's, just me and my family. And I'm looking at the table and I see my son, Joseph, and I see Josh, and I see Hannah. I said, God, what are you really trying to show me? He says, you know, when you sacrifice something for me, for God, He says, if it's worth something to you, it's worth something to me. Amen. If you give it up, it means more to me because it meant a lot to you. Yes. So on Sunday, He says, I want you to quit drinking coffee. If you know your pastor here, coffee, whew, I think it's what you call liquid gold. But what I want to share with you is that it means to me, when I get my coffee, y'all haven't seen me drink coffee, like really when I'm, oh. Love coffee. So, on Sunday, I said, yes, God, I'm going to do that. But I'm starting it right now. Start it right now. Because I want to do this and do it right. I want some changes in my life, God. And it starts with me. Not them, not my wife, not my children. It starts with me. Show me about me. So I can change the way I act and react. So I can be different. And if I've got to sacrifice my coffee, I'll do it. And then I added, and I said, I won't touch any meat in respect to this fast with my people. He says, I'll honor it. I'll honor it. But by you just doing what you wanted to continue doing, because me, I was like, liquid fast, all the coffee I want, what's up? It's liquid, hey. He says, no, I'm going to give this to you, God, because I know this is really what means a lot to me. And I know that God is going to do something. Now, how many of you have gone through and made a sacrifice to God? It doesn't have to be now, but just made a sacrifice. You made a sacrifice to God. God, this is what I want to do for you. Here's my sacrifice. Maybe you didn't see a result from it, but that doesn't mean that it went unnoticed. Because sometimes what we do in life, we make sacrifices, but we don't see the result right away. The sacrifices we make, we may see a harvest of it later. How many of you, and this is one sacrifice I'll tell you right now, how many of you sacrifice sleep to get up and pray? Be honest with me. Be honest. You get up to pray and you know it. This is God. I got to get up and pray. Got to get up and pray. That sacrifice of your rest does not go unnoticed. What you give to God, that rest, that sleep, He is going to restore to you in that season of rest. And I know it to be true. I know it. I'm just talking to you. We're family tonight. We're family. Just talking to you. I felt as I was coming out of the room, I said, Lord, I don't want to go into this. I don't. I feel something different. What is it? Because just tell them, what are they willing? I said it before. What are they willing to sacrifice? Would you sacrifice your own son? Your daughter? Your husband? I better not ask that one. I went there and I saw, no. If you're willing to sacrifice something that you can't live without, someone, God says that what I'll do for you, based upon your heart, on what you decided to do for me, He doesn't require it. Did He say, Liz, Abraham, go sacrifice your son? Didn't. But you sacrificed your son when he went to college. You gave him to him. God, he's in your hands. I give him to you. And what I can't do right now with my hands, you can do with yours.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And in the midst of this, while he's gone, he's going to work on him. He's going to do it. That's a sacrifice. What you get back in return, it may not be in a semester. It may not be in two semesters. When you get him back, he's probably told you many of times already, I know what you've done for me. I know when you're praying for me, because I can feel it. But you've sacrificed. Much better than putting your son on the altar and killing your son. Right? This kind of ties in, but I don't want to lead in this direction. But I said at the beginning of this last Wednesday, the art of giving starts with love. With love. Will you love God so much that you give to God first before he gives you something? I'm testing the Spirit. He's asked so much of us, right? Oh, he requires us to do so much, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. We should want to. Because he's already done what he already said he was going to do. He got you into heaven. Did you get your ticket? Did you get your ticket? Did you get it in the mail? Maybe FedEx hadn't showed up. But you can get into heaven now. You know that, right? You believe in Jesus, he died, third day he resurrected, he probably sent the ticket, probably got lost in the mail. No, you can get to heaven. So, price been paid, debt's canceled. Here's the thing I want you to remember too, is that all of the generational curses got dealt with.
Amen.
On the cross.
Amen.
Everything that was attached to your lineage, your bloodline, was dealt with on the cross. Every single thing, when they brought up that hyssop to him and he took a drink of that vinegar, that hyssop, it speaks about it that he already did away with every single curse. So many people begin to say, here it is, thank you, Jesus. Speak, well, it's in my bloodline, or grandma so-and-so had that, great grandma and great auntie used to have it, so this is, now I got it. No, you don't. No, it's a lying spirit. Some of it is a learned behavior. Yeah, learned behavior. Not a behavior you just picked up. It's a behavior that you've been doing over and over and over, or been witnessing over and over and over, so now you do it too. A learned behavior can get you in bondage. It's not a demon. It's a learned behavior. You're praying and praying. I bind this demon. No, I bind my thought to change my ways to do something different so I can break that habit. To create a better behavior. Do we see? A learned behavior is because we keep watching and watching and watching and watching. Do we not? That's how we learn. It's how our kids learn. They watch us. And some of us have children that watch us like too good. You know the ones because they tell on you. Tell on you. They watch you. They watch you. Oh, I remember Mama did this. I remember that. I remember this and I remember that. The Lord told me, he says, in this fast, son, you're going to experience some things. And what you're going to experience is some things that are deep in your soul that you don't realize are there. Because as you begin to kill your flesh, what was deep down inside that you used to put away and hide starts to surface. So that he can uproot it and get rid of it so you can recognize it's still there. People think, well, I'm on this fast and I just get a little moody. No, you ain't moody. You ain't moody. You ain't grouchy. That's in you. Take something away that you like and you get that way. You know, temper tantrums, we get them. I don't care how old you get. You get temper tantrums. Y'all do. Don't look at me. Y'all start that pouting. What? Get all snappy. You come on. We do that. We're adults and we're looking at the kids. Don't look at the kids. It's you. And then when you see your own kid look at you, what? Don't talk to me that way. Learn behaviors. And that's when the Lord was telling me, He said, son, there's stuff inside of you that I want to deal with. Or do you want to deal with them? Yes, God, get rid of them. He goes, no, you get rid of them. Not me. You get rid of them. But what I've seen the church become as a whole, just is they're dependent on God to do everything. I depend on God and I give God my all. You ain't given God anything yet. You give Him lip service, but you haven't really given Him what He's asked you. Come on, let's be real. Because God has been asking us, will you change your ways? I will in a, yes, but in, when? We try to make things work to our benefit. When are we going to change? When things are right in our eyes or when He wants it done now? But He wants the church to get in line. How is it that we're going to reach a world, but we can't reach it within our own people to help them? There's so much segregation. There's so much prejudice. There's so much backbiting and talking that's going on. People just, they don't want to, I ain't going to church. What for? They're hypocrites. Come on. Come on, ask somebody. Ask someone that's not in church no more. What happened? Well, it was just me. No, what happened? Be real. You know when people, and I think I told you this before, when people do exit interviews with the churches, they don't tell the truth. They don't want to tell the truth. Unless they have somebody that's outside the church doing the interview, then they spill the beans. They'll tell everything. They tell everything. Well, the carpet is dirty, and I know if that's dirty, then everything else is dirty, and then the pastor's dirty, his house is dirty. So I just knew they weren't going to lead me in the right direction because the carpet was dirty. So I could just tell sometimes. Sometimes, yeah, his collar wasn't all the way down, so he just don't pay attention. They just go to town. Like, really? Now, what's the real issue? Well, he said something about one time about me and my marriage, and I didn't quite like, oh, there's the reason. Well, yeah, we have pastors, we have preachers, we have evangelists, we have teachers, prophets, apostles, to equip the people, right? That's what we're supposed to do, equip them. But it's like me, just, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. But then what you've been given is left here, and they leave the same way they entered. Oh, and they jump and holler, and you know that one. Someone just, I'll behave. Ooh. Oh, you know the ones. You know the ones. You know the ones. Just talking now. We're just family in here. Just talking. I'm challenging you with what I'm telling you, but just talk. We're tired of having church where we have the people just want to be. Yeah, Pastor, preach it, Pastor, preach it. Yes, Pastor. Woo, that's a word right there. Woo. And then they leave, and they're the same person that you've seen struggling with the same issue. Oh. But you've been preaching and teaching on it for so long, and they just leave everything that you can. Here's a way you can get out of that. We've got to change our ways. We've got to fast. We've got to read our Bible. See, I make sure nobody's sitting here, because I want nobody saying, he's always picking on people. No, there's nobody here, so listen. You got to read your Bible and apply what it says. Don't read it like it's a planned reading. I offended you. I offended you by telling you what you need to help you with your issue. I'm just trying to help us. They get mad, darling. They get mad. And then they leave. Then you have the other ones that they love to dance. They just love to dance. Y'all know me. Y'all come on now. I was like, oh, that's like, ooh, whew, oh, yes, Pastor, I feel the anointing. Oh, the anointing is to destroy the yoke that's on you, not to make, hey. It's to destroy the yoke that's on you. But what's happened is we get so caught up on the emotion of church. Well, that sermon wasn't all that. I didn't feel. You don't have to feel it. It goes in. The Bible says the word of the Lord that proceeds out of the mouth will not return void unto God. You may have not liked the way it felt, but it's not going to, you know, return void. It's going to eventually going to work in you.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
We're dealing with the soil of the heart. And then we go back to over here. Oh, Tambourine Tammy over here, like, you know. Tambourine Tammy got all mad because I told her that you have an issue that just needs to be worked out, and you can do it. You can overcome it with these things here if you just apply them. But Tambourine Tammy gets all mad. They leave, and they start talking about the church that we're being judgmental. I'm not talking about this church. I'm just talking about what happens. Now, you start happen to start talking about, you know, drugs and alcohol in the church and how it's not supposed to be this, not supposed to be that. Oh, he's all caught up in legalism and the law and this and that. We're about grace. And this. So then they get mad because you're not teaching about the law. So they want to go to a church that they teach about the law. And then when they get there, they're teaching about the law. Then they're mad because they're not teaching about grace. You can't please everybody. It's like God saying, I've got the truth right here. It's right here for you. If you accept it, it'll take root. I've already given it. Will you accept it? Will you accept it? I mean, we've had all kinds of preaching. I've watched CBN for... I've watched The Word Network. I've watched Angel. Now we got church channels out there now. I've watched them, and I began to listen, and I said, God, I don't want to be like somebody else. That's me. That's my prayer, guys. I don't want to be like somebody else. I want to be who God meant me to be.
Yeah.
But here's the trick of the enemy. Here's the trick of the enemy. He'll make you feel like you're not doing it the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Right? Come on. Or you're not growing like you should be growing. Condemnation comes in. But I was just watching, you know, I was trying to get encouraged. God, that's all I was doing. He says, yeah, but the enemy knows what you're looking at. You're not just listening. You're beginning to look at things on where are you compared to where they're at. And what you've allowed to happen in your life is you begin to put a standard there. That's not the standard I have for you. Standard I had for them. But the standard I have for you is different. Will you do something different? Yes, I want to do something different, God. And being different doesn't mean it's all that. It don't mean you have a mega church. It doesn't mean you have a little church. You're just different. But every time I look in the mirror, I see something different about me. I do. Because most of us, when we look in the mirror, Tambourine Tammy. We're going to talk about Vanity Vince now. See, Vanity Vince has a tendency to always want to look good on the outside, but never want to do anything concerning his inside. Vanity Vince has a tendency to want to go and just kind of put everything to look sharp, dressed to the nines, got everything. I mean, got the beard trimmed out. I mean, perfect. You know, we got the chin strap going all the way down, but it's perfect all the way around. Not only that, got the earrings that match even the tie and, oh, come on. And then got the shoes that looks, goes with the belt. He got everything looking good, but Vanity Vince has a tendency to be just like, chauvinistic about some things and has a tendency to be kind of haughty about things. But he has a tendency to step on people's toes because he don't like what they're saying. We have those people in churches today. They're so concerned about the outside, but they don't want to deal with the inside. Let's not be that. What we need to do is let God begin to penetrate us with His Word, His presence. If we enter into a place of worship and we just don't feel it, you came in with the wrong spirit. Well, it's just the building. I'm the church. You're the church, so you should be in union with the Spirit. But you'll enter in and allow your attitude to dictate to you how you're going to be in His presence.
Yeah.
That's what happens. It does. You know, people get away, oh, Pastor, just what he was teaching. I don't like it when he teaches. Every time I see him put that thing on his ear, he's going to start teaching. James, I see it, man. I see it. I do. People start quick, make a prejudgment of how the service is going to go. And if you've been here long enough, we don't know. We don't know. Can we quit putting God in a box? Right? Can we? Let that be the first service, message, whatever. Just want to talk to you as family. Let's just understand that let's not play church. Let's not be the Tambourine Tammy. No, you can do that in praise and worship. I'm just saying, I was talking about nobody was there. There was nobody sitting there. I wasn't making any references. Just making a point. You know, you've got to apply what you hear. And don't be Vanity Vince. Don't want to look good on the outside, but the inside is all jacked up. You understand? We've got to work some things out, and let's put the word to use. Amen? Just some general house things that we're just speaking. Amen? We can't speak in church about our own issues. I even talked about myself first. Did I not? So don't get mad if I stepped on your toes. Just wear closed shoes, toes. You'll be all right. It's all right. Be good. I want to read scripture to you so that we make sure that we fulfill what God says we should fulfill. The word. If you would, please, I want you to get in your Bibles, John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. If you're recording, Michael, hit pause and then do it again. This is actually be a different. Wait a minute. Just wait even before then. Watch this. Who's got a notebook paper?
Notebook.
Can you just tear one off, please, sir? Watch this. I don't remember how to do this, but I'm just going to make an illustration here. Just make an illustration. You know how to fold like a note you're going to pass someone in class. Okay, watch this. Before there was ever any email, any Facebook, any text, any Twitter and Instagram, the only way you could get across a message to somebody. Oh, it's been a while, I know. It's been a while. I know. Now we just text it and stuff, but, you know. It takes a little bit longer. You do more of the preparation and folding and doing everything to get the letter ready to get sent than you do actually reading it. But what happens is, okay, look. We used to pass notes. We used to pass notes in class. We had to write down some things and we'd just pass it around. We would just pass it around. That's how we used to get letters or notes across to people. That's how we had interaction with people. Now we don't have interaction. We don't even know how to talk to you. LOL and OMG and TTLY and YL. And you lose everything in translation nowadays. What is, can someone give me the, what are these acronyms? What do they mean? And I don't even want to say what the other, what? We don't even understand the language, but they know how to put some words together, just letters together, and it means a whole sentence. And then we have people that are in class today, as they're writing their papers, they're doing the exact same thing, and then they're wondering why they got it wrong. Couldn't you tell what I was thinking? Let me text it to you. Watch this. Oh. Things were put in order in the garden for a reason. So that a learned... So that we can learn a behavior that is good for us. Because who was there with Adam and Eve? Nobody to teach them other than God walking with them in the cool of the day. That shows me that God was teaching him. Walk the land, it's yours. See, he planted all the trees and all the herbs. He gave all the animals. And then he even said, Adam, you're going to name all these animals. Whatever comes out of your mouth, that's what they are. Done. If he trusted them that much to do something that we today are still calling them what they were back then, it lasts forever. So he spent time, he communed with them. Things were in order in the garden. They were in order for a reason so that we can understand there must be order in our life. Ooh. Oh, help me on this one, Josh. Help me on this one, Josh. Order is necessary for us because when you stay in alignment with God and His Word and His order, the enemy can't come in and circumvent order. What he did in the garden, he twisted truth so that he can circumvent order. Well, if you eat of this tree, you're not going to die. Your eyes are going to be open. And you're going to know between good and evil. Well, we all know the story. We know the story. Watch this. I'm trying to show you here. What they did out of disobedience to God caused them to be taken out of their abundance, out of order, and to be placed now and doing everything by the sweat of their brow. And that she would be having birthing pains. Pains. Where before you wouldn't have pain. You wouldn't have to be working so hard for what God already gave you. Now, what I want you to remember is to go back before He made the garden. And before He did anything else, this whole world was in chaos. No order. And He came in and He set order into being. And when He set things in order into being, He placed them in order. Then He placed man in that state of order. So what was the enemy trying to do? Is to get you out of order. Because if you're out of order with God, you don't get what He's already given. That's it. Well, I'm waiting for God to give me. He's given it. He's given it, but you're out of order. Don't get it all twisted that I've got to be perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect. It's about the heart. Remember, the first thing was about the soil, the conditions of the heart. Your condition of your heart is, God, I'm a mess. I have issues. Even when you think you got it all together, you're the one that has an issue too. Let's work that issue out, you and God. In private. With God. So He can begin to do that work and bring that area that's in chaos or out of order into order. So that you can receive what He already gave. Everything that God is going to give you is already here. It's here. Maybe it's not right here in your bank account, because we all look at money, but it's in somebody else's. Oh, you better hear me. It doesn't just drop from the sky. It's already in somebody's bank account. It may not be in yours, but God has a way of putting some numbers in order. Things work by the numbers because they're universal throughout the world. Y'all need to hear this. Because in the number system, we understand that when He created the heavens and the earth, on the sixth day He created man, six, but on the seventh day He rested. Not because He was tired, but because it was in order. So when things are placed in order, things begin to come to you based upon the order of God. Where just one digit would have been out of order. Just one. You couldn't get what was rightfully yours. James, I was going to deposit $150 in your account tonight, but it says it was the wrong account number. Oh, you have that. It should have been a 1 instead of a 7. Move that over and correct that number. There will be a transfer that will take place immediately. You understand that? The trick of the enemy is to get you out of order of what God's already given you. Oh, it's proven. It's proven. This is the garden. It was a fruitful state. Beautiful. Everything was beautiful and green. It was called beautiful. Eden. Had the rivers that run out of it. What I'm going to share with you that you're going to see is that you see this same garden later. And it's not a garden no more. It's a desert. Which was once four rivers. The fourth has been done away with because it ran dry. You'll see it again when Jesus comes up out of the water in his baptism. And God announces who he is. And when he comes up out of that water, he is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, which was once the garden. I'm looking for the Garden of Eden. It's not a garden anymore. You're never going to find it. What God has cursed doesn't flourish. Where God has removed life, there's no more life. What he has cursed, nothing can grow. He cursed the land, did he not? Out of the ground, thorns and thistles shall grow. He cursed the serpent on the ground. The dust you shall eat. He said it. Not the grass. The dust. Because it was already going to become the desert. Watch this. Out of that same transitional Jordan that we call the Jordan of Transition is also the same side where Moses got out of order with God. Where he told him to speak to the rock, but he struck the rock and he got out of order. When he got out of order, he says, you're not going to enter in. You will see it, but you're not going to get in. Now you see that same rock, but that rock is Jesus. Being in that wilderness of the desert, where it's desert, nothing's fruitful, nothing's growing, nothing's there that he can even reach down and even call a fruit because it's no longer there. But he's already been announced as the Son of God. Gets across the Jordan on the other side where Moses failed. This one now comes in. Where Adam failed, this one comes in. Now he is the last. He is the last that comes in. There's not a second, the last. He comes in, the rock comes in, and he now is now being tempted. It says, after 40 days without food and water, after the fast, not during, not when you're struggling for your coffee or you're struggling for your tortillas, but after the fast, then Satan came. Afterwards, watch what he said. Turn this stone to bread. What stone? The same stone that was turned into water. The same stone. And Jesus had every right because the fast was over. Oh, I can eat? Okay. I'll turn it to bread. God has a way of orchestrating what he's doing. So in that very moment, and everything that the devil tempted him with is all in Scripture in the Old. Every single thing. Bread of life. He's the rock. He's the river of life. Everything got tempted on his identity. Watch this. In the garden, when it was all taken away, when they ate of the fruit, they realized they were naked. And they hid. They hid. The enemy is always going to get you out of order so you hide from God. Because you're afraid of the judgment. You're afraid of what's going to take place because you got out of order with God. But God is saying, no, regardless of what happened, I'm here. I'm here. I want to get things back in order. I want to get my original intent, my final decision. And that's exactly how it's going to be. He wants you to live in abundance. He wants you to live where everything is fruitful and always multiplying. Now watch. This is exactly what he told Adam. When he created Adam and Eve, now be fruitful and replenish the earth. Multiply it. What's inside of you? The ability to multiply. The ability to increase in all areas, not just in reproducing. So what did the enemy do? He came to take away that ability, get it out of order. We are no longer multiplying and adding. All you're doing is singling out, isolating, just like they did. They isolated themselves and they hid. And they covered themselves with the fig leaf. Right? Know the story? Jesus now begins his ministry as he's going into Jerusalem. to turn over the money changers. But as he's walking that way, he sees a fig tree that didn't produce fruit. What did he do? He cursed it. Rebellion and discord being out of order. God will speak. And what he spoke, that next day, they saw it withered to the ground. Proof that when God spoke about the garden, that it cursed the ground, it withered, it died. The Garden of Eden was no more. Proof. Because he spoke about the fig. To bring you back into first mention. The first time the fig is mentioned. Do you understand? But let's not negate the fact that God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. God is going to put some things in order for us. As he puts it in order for us, some things are going to begin to click, click, click. And when they click like that, it's just like that, the thumbing of the, we call that the, combination. The pin is about to drop. Click, click, click. And when it comes in order, when the pins drop, it leaves a row open so that it can be open. We go back to its original order. Things can't be in chaos. When you look at an actual lock, combination lock, when you look through it, it has different teeth. And as you're turning it, you can go through all the numbers, but unless you do it in order, everything will be in discourse. It'll be all out of order. It won't be in a row. But once you get every number in its place, it's an open area so that the pin can be pulled out. And it opens up. God's going to bring some order in our lives. We all need it. We all do. Can we get back in order? Can we let God order us? He says, I order your steps. How about ordering our heart and our mind to line up with the steps? So when that happens, we can get to where we need to go. Amen. Well, I pray that we had like two services in here. Once we talked to his family, and the other we just kind of talked about getting in order. We're going to finish this up. This is the art of giving. The purpose of the Father is the Word. The Word. Began reading in John 6, 25 through 40, and then 49 through 51. He had just fed the 5,000, and they still wanted another sign. Come on Sunday, and I'm going to finish and wrap this up, the art of giving. This is just a little scratch of the surface. It's the conditions of the heart. And love is always the reason for the giving. He loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God wants to get us back into our original state. Our original blessing is the abundance and the overflow. It's in you. He gave it to you. And what he gave you was the ability to produce. He says, I've given you power to obtain wealth. It's in you. Trick of the enemy is to get you out of order. Get things twisted. Isolate you. You ever seen anybody isolated before? Yeah, it's not pretty. Most of the time, they're in depression. They're depressed so much because they can't see their way out of where they're at. That's the trick of the enemy. They think that's it. I'm by myself. That's what the enemy did to Adam and Eve. Go hide. Even knowing that God was coming to have an appointment. Don't let the enemy take you out. Get in order with God. Spend time with him in his word. Pray. If he calls you to a fast, oh, please fast. Please. It'll be wonders for you. It's a struggle, I'm gonna lie to you, but it'll do wonders for you. Fast does not change things, it opens the way you see things. That's what it does. Well, fasting brings me power. No, it doesn't. Nowhere in the Bible does it say so. It removes doubt and removes flesh. Well, if I fast and I pray, I can deal with demons. No. Knowing that he has given you power to deal with demons, you deal with demons. Your fasting and praying is for you to keep you in line with him. Amen. Michael, go ahead and go to our creed as we go into our tithes and offering. How many of you are on a fast right now? Raise your hand. Only just... Okay. Has God begun to deal with you on certain things? Yes? I see some heads this and I see people just staring at me like deer in headlights. Is he dealing with certain things? If he's dealing with it, that's the thing he wants you to work on. But you're praying in this area, God, I'm fasting for this, no, but he's showing you something else. Deal with that thing that he's showing you. He may be dealing with the way you're eating. He does it. He does it because he has a way of doing that. And if that's what he's doing, deal with that one. Because he wants you to get over that, take dominion over it, and move forward. Amen? Amen. 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 Next slide, Michael. What's the next one? Okay, that's the tithing, giving back to God, and then the next one. There we go.